Well, I can testify that everything that Jenny says is true. We met Jenny through divine appointment. I won't go into that story right now, but I'll tell you what, right? I felt the Lord say tonight to speak about the river that's inside of us, but also what yielding means. Like, what does that even mean? Like, yield. It's an old-fashioned word. And I've learned it, and I'm learning it, and we're all learning it. And the really black and white thing is, right, if you're married or if you're dating someone, right, and your husband or your wife or your boyfriend or girlfriend wants to go to one restaurant, you want to go to the other, you yield, you just give in and you go with them to their restaurant, right? If they think that the car should be driven this way and you think it should be driven that way, you just yield, you go with it, right? And that's how we, the more we practice doing that with other people, that's how we learn to yield to the Lord, right? Because the opportunity of evangelism never comes at a moment where it seems amazing for us, where we're wide awake and we've just had three coffees and we're really excited to share the gospel. It sort of goes, oh, I'm really busy right now. I don't really know. I got this, I got that, right? And then it's up to us to go, maybe this is God, right? And I just want to share quickly. So 3 weeks ago, Jenny gives me a phone call. I'm driving home, and she gives me a phone call, and she goes, "Hey, do you have some surfboards?" And I just met these French people on the beach, and they want a surfboard, and I'm thinking, oh, got to chat with these French people for hours, and it's. I'm just in my mind. I've already made up. Like, I don't have time for this. I've got a glory night tonight at my house. We've got to clean up the house. Got to get dinner for the kids. We've got to get home first. I've had this massive day. I don't know what I had on, but in my mind, I just was like, I'm too busy. Jenny and her people. But in my heart, I just knew. I was like, you know what? Like, this is not the first time that, God has brought a divine encounter. And so I yielded, and even though in my mind I had a million reasons not to come, in my heart I was just like, all right, at least I'm just going to go and say hi and wave. And then I saw them from a distance, and I thought, there we go, these backpack. I was a backpacker myself, and then I walked up to them, and they're just the most loving, sweet French couple, right? They're just gorgeous, beautiful French accents, very good looking as well, both of them. And so I just fell in love, and straight away, it feels like you're on a holiday or something in France. So, and anyway, everything shifted. But the short version of the story is, Jenny invites them over. They come to the glory night. They get filled with the Holy Spirit. They get saved. And some of you were, I think you were there, weren't you, Allison? Yeah. Allison was there, Jenny was there, Bob was there as well, yeah. And so they're on the couch, right? But sometimes it does take that combined effort of more people to come and them to see our house, have a cup of tea, see our kids, know that we're not weirdos, and then see Jenny as well. It helps when they see that bigger picture. And the two pillars of evangelism, someone once told me, one is pillar is family. And the other pillar is worship, right? So when we worship, when we glorify God, He gives us boldness. He gives us the fire, and we forget all our stress, all our trauma. Or when we worship God's creation, right? Or we worship the Creator through His creation, like Jenny was sharing. We're so in awe of Him, and then we get more focused on the task. But the family is so powerful because there's a testimony in that. When we're part of a church community, right? There's a connection there. There's a family there. And when we're part, me and Becky, our family and the children, there's a power. And I'm still yet discovering that, but there's something to those keys that carry evangelism. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Oof. Sorry. Yeah, I give. Yeah, they came up the back, and I had a bunch of surfboards, and he grabbed a surfboard, and grab the best one. But it's good, you see, because, you know, everything God gives us, it's in seed form, right? So if we then keep it for ourselves, it can't get planted. But if we give it away, it grows, right? I remember years ago, I went to the shop. I was living in South Africa for a year. I know there's a few South Africans here. And I went to the shops and I bought a Bob Marley CD. I thought, I'm going to start listening to reggae music. Everybody loves reggae. And I was so happy and I thought, I'm going to be, you know, really accepted now. I'm going to be cool now. You know, I have a reggae CD in my car. And as I'm walking home, I see these guys. They've got a CD player, you know, and they're sitting there. And the Holy Spirit just told me, you know what? They could probably use my reggae CD much more than me, you know? And it was a Bob Marley CD. It cost me $100. And $100, so I think it's about $10, isn't it? And anyways, I thought I can just go back to the shop and buy another one, you know? But I thought I'm not going to. I'm nearly at work. And anyways, long story short, I yielded and I just said, here you go. Here's the CD. God bless you, you know, but it hurt a bit because it was, I really wanted that CD and I really felt like, you know, and you know what happens? I'm not kidding. I'm not joking. This is a true story. Since that happened, and God showed me now, this is, you know, over 10 years ago, right? I cannot escape reggae CDs being given to me from all over the place, right? So the first one was, I met this girl from church at her house. She's like pulling out CDs and she's like, here, this one here, you probably like this one. It's a Bob Marley CD. And I take it home. Then I'm in the Netherlands at my mother's house. I happen to go to my neighbors. He's like, yeah, come on in, look at my CD collection. And he just goes, this one here, that one, you probably really like it. He gives me that, this Bob Marley CD, right? And then I get one for a free subscription for some online Amazon account or something. They send me a Bob Marley CD, you know? Then I'm driving my car. I open a CD player. What comes out? Is it like a reggae CD? And I'm thinking, how did that get there? Someone borrowed the car. I still to this day don't know where some of these CDs have come from, you know? But it's like a seed that we then planted, right? And then a tree can come, right? And I know there's other stories of that. But I want to share one story that really has rocked my world about the power of a seed, right? This has changed. I mean, so when I was about 22 years old, right, 21, 22, I asked God. I said, I was in a phase of laying my life down, right? I asked God, I said, what do you want me to do, God? You know, for my friends, do you want me to evangelize to them? What do you want? And he, this is the word he said to me. He said, just go up to them and ask them if you can pray for them and pray for them. Right? And so I went to my first friend, right? And this is a young man. And I asked him, I said, can I pray for you? And we were skateboarding together. And you know, he sort of hesitated and was like, what's going on? I said, well, you know, I'm a Christian. I grew up in a Christian family, but now it's really real. Like, I really love God and I believe he loves you and he wants to bless you. And something along those lines. And he said, sure, why not? So I put my hand on his shoulder and I said these words. I said, dear God, would you show Richard that you're real and that you love him and bless him in Jesus' name. Amen. And then I quickly walked away and said, all right, let's keep skateboarding, man. Let's keep, you know, it was like, anyways, I did this for, you know, probably over a dozen friends, you know, and got a little bit more courageous over time. But it was just a simple word. I just said, Jesus, please bless them. Show them that you're real in Jesus' name. Amen. And that was scary. You know, it's sort of out of the box, right? Anyways, this is a little seed that I sowed in all these lives. Hallelujah. Anyways, I prayed. Fast forward. We're going to fast forward at the end. I'm going to share you what happened to some of these seeds. I'm kind of this the power of the seed, right? once it's sown, the Bible says, you know, his word cannot return void, right? His word cannot return void. And I want to say it can unlock things, right? Becky were living with her parents for a little while, and the neighbors had these really annoying flickering fairy lights right near our window, but they went on and off, on and off, on and off all night long, and it was right next to our window, like on the hedge, you know. And every night, I'd get frustrated. I couldn't sleep, and we had the blinds closed, and it was still flickering through. And I'd say, "I curse those lights in the name of Jesus!" You know, "I command them to break." And I'd just get so angry. "I curse them in Jesus' name. I command them to break." You know, and nothing happened. You know, it was probably 6 months. Nothing happened. You know, and then one day the Lord spoke to me. He said, "You know what? You know that, like, if you really want to, you know, cause havoc to the kingdom of darkness, start praying for the neighbors and bless." And then I started to go, "Lord, I just bless the neighbors. I pray salvation for them. I pray you touch them with your love. I pray." So 2 nights, the lights were off. They never came on again. I started saying the owners of the lights, right? And there's something that happens when we start praying and blessing people, right? Now, it's the same with evangelism, right? I've had people at workplaces that honestly, they hounded me down. And they would give me a really hard time, put in formal complaints. And then I was finally so fed up with it. And I sat the lady down. I said, "You know what? You don't like me and I don't like you. You know why? It's because I'm supposed to tell you that Jesus loves you. And he died for you on the cross. And he cares so much for you, right? That he sent his only son, Jesus." And all of a sudden, I'm sharing the gospel with her. I'm shaking. She's shaking. And I said, "Can I pray for you?" I pray for her. And then after that, we become best friends. 2 days later, I get a phone call. I get another job offer, right, to teach scripture in high schools. So there's something about this obedience in us in releasing that. And I did the same a month ago. And some of you know me. I was working at a petrol station. And similar scenario. There's a man there. I would hand over my shift to him. He was giving me a hard time, you know, wasn't always friendly, it was just frustrating. One day I accidentally left the worship music on. He doesn't know it's worship, right? But it obviously caused him to manifest because he'd go, "Nah, nah, 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 what's going on here?" And he's yelling out, you know. And anyways, I felt the Lord said, "Do it again," you know. It's like, so I was too scared. I was too nervous. I didn't do it for another 2 weeks. And then one day I went to the church prayer meeting. I was full of the Holy Spirit. And so I'm driving past the petrol station, and I felt God say, "Why don't you not on shift, but he's there, so why don't you just go in and share it now?" And I was like, no, I'm too, you know, it's not the right time. But that was the right time. Anyways, I missed it. I kept driving. But I turned around, and I went back, and I had to wait for a while because it was a big line. But I believe had I gone straight away, wouldn't have been any line, and I would have had an open door. Anyways, I waited. The line was gone. I said, "You know what? I really feel like I meant to pray for you, Terry. I feel like God has a plan for your life. I don't know why." And he opened up straight away. He started sharing how he's had several diagnoses of blood things, and I was able to pray for him. And within a week, I get another job offer. You know, God wants us to complete certain things or reach certain people. And often it seems scary because that's where our destiny gets unlocked, right? Now, if you can throw up one of the photos. Yeah, so this is me and Becky. And this is just a quick plug. This is in 2018. We went to a thing called Awakening Australia. Some of you may have heard about it or been there. 10,000 people, full on for Jesus, like going into the streets of Melbourne, singing Amazing Grace, holding hands, you know, stadium getting packed out with people. Probably some of the best days of my life, sharing the gospel. And I really believe there's going to be a great revival. It's happening again in September this year. So I just wanted to plant that seed in each of you guys. It's in Brisbane, but I believe it's going to rock something over Australia as a nation. Right, next slide. So this is a guy I picked up, hitchhiker, right? So that's a yielding again, right? We go, man, that guy looks scary. He looks strange. Or I don't know who it is, right? But if that's prompting of the Holy Spirit, right? And I'm not saying that you need to follow the Holy Spirit, right? You need to not just go and pick up every hitchhiker, even though that's what I do. But if the Holy Spirit does a twinkle, right? Anyways, he ends up coming into our house. He's a total atheist. He allows me to pray for him the first night. Next day, he comes to church. You know, he just hangs out. And I just go, yeah, in Australia, everyone's a Christian, you know. And I just talk, he's a German backpacker. And anyways, after church, he sits in the cafe and he chats. And this Aussie guy, you know, shares with him. And he's thinking, wow, you know, it's really real. And then he gives his life to the Lord in his own way. You know, he doesn't necessarily say the sinner's prayer, but I often get him to say something like, Jesus, I open my heart to you. And God will take it. Like, he doesn't care, right? He's just going to take it. And so it's not about necessarily saying the sinner's prayer. Sometimes that's important and that's good. And I try to say that when I can. Like with the French backpackers, we said the sinner's prayer. But often it's just, you know, I've even gone with people. I said, let's pray to the truth right now and ask the truth to fill us, right? We know who the truth is, you know. People love that stuff. The Creator loves you so much, man. The Creator has a plan for your life. All right, next slide. All right, and so this is the first time I learned how to yield. This is when my son Cedar, you see how young he was there, right? I used to work at a company and I saw this man come in regularly and he just had something about him and I felt the Lord convicted me to preach to him, but I never did. But God is so faithful, isn't he? He gives you another opportunity. One day me and Becky were out. She really wanted hot chips. I absolutely didn't want hot chips. And I was arguing. I'm thinking, we should go this, or we'll just go get lunch somewhere else. Da, 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 da. And then finally, I yielded. And it wasn't a pretty yield, but I did do it. Anyways, and then I'm in the parking lot thinking, well, I might as well make the most of it and, like, just do something to hurt the devil, you know? And then I see this man walk by and I recognize him. So I'm just gonna tell him everything, you know. And so I just pulled him. I said, hey, how are you? Da, 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 da. And I just said, you know that Jesus loves you so much. He's got a plan for your life. And he died for you on the cross. And he's forgiven all your sins. And I just shared it with him. And he was like, wow, that's amazing. You know, I'm about to go on a weekend away. It's going to be the best weekend away. Thanks for sharing that. And I prayed with him, led him to the Lord. He gets filled with the Holy Spirit. He's going, oh, I feel like I'm getting filled at a gas station. He goes, I feel like I'm getting filled at a petrol station. He's just loving it, right? Anyways, years go by. Last August, right? So this guy lives somewhere in the Sutherland Shire, right? At this stage, we're already living down the coast. So God just puts people on your path because he knows you can reach them. Next slide. So last year, all of a sudden, we're down the coast. We're at this random little pool somewhere. And who's there sitting with his legs in the water? This guy. His name is Glenn. And I got to pray for him again and encourage him again. And he couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. Like, we're just going, oh, my God. You know? But that's that little seed. And God already showed me every time he came to the company and he would pay for his goods and he'd leave and I'd smile. I might have said like a little God bless you or something, but I definitely didn't, you know, preach to him. I was too nervous. Hallelujah. Wow. Just next slide. Or is that the video after this video? All right. Well, hang on for that. Anyway, so I'll come back. I'll just finish off with this, right? So everything that you do makes a difference, right? The power of the seed. So in 2022, we went to the Netherlands. We went to Awakening Europe. I felt God to be a part of it, right? Anyways, God supernaturally, now I'm not saying I do this every time right, but this particular time I did this right. I'll just share the full testimony. I bought some shares that someone gave me a tip on, right? And I yielded. And I've also tried this in my own strength many times, but this time I yielded and I just bought these certain shares and they just skyrocketed up in value, right? And I just kept going up, 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 up. And I felt in my heart, let's go to Awakening Europe. And I said, God, if you give me 10 grand, God, I'll go to Awakening Europe with my family. And I felt him say, you've already got 10 grand to sell those shares. I thought, no, God, I'm not going to sell them. That's a deposit for our home one day. You know, it's going to keep going up. You know, it's going to go to the moon. And it didn't go away. I was like, the money's there. And I thought, oh, but what if it keeps going up? You know, I don't want to sell. Anyways, long story short, I ended up selling it. I battled with God a lot of time. And if I'd sold it right when he told me, it would have been even higher. Anyways, I eventually gave in. And I gave in. I yielded. We sold the shares, booked tickets, went to Awakening Europe, right? Amazing time. God provided. Anyways, the shares now are worth, I bought them for 9 cents a share. Sold them for $1.23 a share, and they're now worth like 18 cents a share or something like that. So it was all God's timing. Like, he knew something I didn't know, right? But I wasn't trying to work it out. I was yielding, you know? It wasn't my smartness. Because I then after that tried to do it again in my own skills. Luckily, not with any big amounts. But anyway, so we're in Holland. In the Netherlands, right where I'm from originally, so where I planted these seeds 17 years ago, and we're there at Awakening, amazing miracles, signs and wonders, seeing people saved. We end up back in my hometown. I'm in my mother's house after Awakening. This guy comes to my front door, and he goes, "Hey, Abner, how are you?" You know, like I never left, right? I haven't lived there for 17 years. And he sort of pretended like a nurse. I'm like, "Hey, man, oh, good to see you. Da, da, da. You know, what was your name again?" He goes, "Bus. Oh, Bus. Good to see you, Bus." And I was chatting. I thought, I got to give him something to work with. You know, I've just been on fire, like preaching the gospel. And so I said, "Bus, God loves you so much." And he goes, "Oh, does he?" He said, "Yeah, I've been talking to him every day." He says, I go to the little chapel of the Catholic Church and I talk with God and he speaks to me. And, anyways, turned out he had also a form of schizophrenia, right? He heard voices. Anyways, I pray for him. He leaves. Next day, he comes back again. I pray for him again. He gets completely delivered right out of front door. So Becky's upstairs in the kitchen praying in tongues. And he gets completely delivered, set free, right? I'm praying for about half an hour. I've got my hand on his chest. Like the Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Like, sometimes we don't need to pray. We just need to have our hands there for a while. Right, so I've got my hands there for like ages, and I'm like, fill him, Lord, fill him, fill him, fill him. And there's like demons coming out, everything right in the front, and people are walking by going, well, you know, thinking that we're having some sort of a hugging session, and they're having a laugh. Anyways, he gets touched. And then that afternoon, I go to a birthday party. At this birthday party, I'm sitting there, and a fellow comes into the room and they go, "Hey, this is Richie Jonathans." And I sort of went, he's the new worship leader in our church, right? And I sort of went, "Oh yeah, that's cool." You know, I sort of thought, I know a guy who's called Richie, and you know, and he comes a bit closer and I look at him again. I think, that looks like a guy I know, Richie. But I'm thinking, he looks so different, right? And he's not a Christian, and he's definitely not a worship leader. You know, and he comes close, and I say, "Are you Richie? Are you the Richie I used to skateboard with?" And he's like, "Yeah, Abner." You know, "Yeah, Abner." He was so excited to see me, as I was excited to see him, right? And we hugged each other, and we caught up. Anyways, he had been praying. He'd been asking the Lord, because I deleted Facebook. Hallelujah, I'm free. And he had been praying and asking God that he could find a way to thank me for praying with him all those years ago, right? This is 17 years prior, right? He had been going through all sorts of trials and things, but that seed had stayed in him, right? His mother was an atheist and his dad was a New Ager. So no Christian upbringing whatsoever. But somehow that seed managed to grow into a plant and he surrendered his life to Jesus, right? And anyways, so the first guy, right, that came to my door, this other guy, right, I prayed with him, took him to church the next day. And anyways, rewind again. So rewind 17 years ago. I'm praying for all my friends, right? I'm in the street one day, and this kid comes up to me. He's running. He goes, "Abner, Abner, what did you do for my brother? You did something to my brother. You did something to him. Do it for me too. Do it for me too." You know? And I said, "Yeah, I prayed for him." And I said, "Sure, come here. Come here. I'll pray for you right now. You know, come, come." And he said, "Yeah, I'm a bit busy right now. Next time. Next time you see me, pray for me, right?" And I said, "All right, next time I'm going to pray for you. Next time I'm going to pray for you." Anyways, long story short, I went to Australia, right? So the next time, I didn't work this out till I got home, but the next time was 17 years later. He rocked up at my mother's door, right? So the seed that we spoke, we conversed, we said, "Next time I'm going to pray for you." And he said, "Next time you can pray for me." 17 years later, he rocks up at my mother's door to get set free, delivered from demons. And then took him to church. And a few days later, we took him down and we baptized him. And that's this last little video. I don't know if the sound's working, is sound or not? So that gentleman on the left there, that's John. I mean, I have so many stories I can tell you with him. And so he got filled with the Holy Spirit. He was speaking in tongues that day for the first time. And just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So I just want to encourage you guys. And I want to just take a moment. And I want to invite anyone who wants to, Lord, just close your eyes. Is that all right if I do a little, Hallelujah. And then who wants to go to dinner can go to dinner. And who wants to stay and receive prayer can come up and have some prayer. Thank you, Jesus. I ask that you breathe right now tonight upon every seed, God, that is in our lives. But also the seeds that we have sown, God. The seeds that we have sown. You know, it doesn't need many words, just a little act of faith. God, please show them that you're real. The hand on the shoulder. God, show them that you're real. That was it. That was it. That was it. And he's now the worship leader at his church. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I just thank you right now. Breathe upon every seed, oh God. Breathe upon every seed. Command faith to rise in this room. All unbelief to go in Jesus' name. All doubt to leave in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, God, for faith. Faith for the impossible. Faith for the impossible. Faith for the impossible. Faith for the impossible. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's no doubt about it. Those seeds that you have sown, they will reap a harvest. It's a guarantee. It's a guarantee. It's a guarantee. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Daddy.